hope you recognize that theme song because it indicates that it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition. And we pray that you've been listening to great gospel music that has brought you to this time. And we pray you'll stay tuned for a little while longer as we bring the reason for these songs of joy, these songs of hope, these songs of love and peace. We want you to know the reason for our rejoicing today. And if you're a Christian and you're not rejoicing today, I want to remind you, praise God, that the Word of God tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And not just to keep it as a commandment, but to go into the Word and get a hold of those things that will cause our hearts to bubble up with joy. Hallelujah. How can we have joy in a world like ours at a time like this with all the circumstances of life that we have to face in a fallen world? Well, I want you to know, amen, that joy is available to you, and one of the very incentives for that joy is the soon coming and the certain coming of our Savior, amen, Jesus Christ for us. God is not going to sit back and watch this world self-destruct and us with it. I'm telling you, He has a plan, and that plan is in place right now, and time is running, and the time is near. I used to preach a lot about the last days, because so many scriptures speak of the last days. But now, I believe it is so close, I use the term more frequently, the last of the last days. I want people that I minister to clearly understand, according to the prophecies of Scripture and according to the circumstances of our world and the fulfillment up until this point in time, the coming of the Lord is imminent. It could take place before this broadcast is over, and do no injustice to prophetic Scripture. We are in, friend, the last of the last days. Praise God. So we want you to stay tuned to hear a message on the mystery of marriage and the coming of the Messiah, how they relate and correlate with one another. God gives us not only the promise of His coming, but the manner in which this great event is going to play out. And He uses a marriage of a man and woman according to the ancient Jewish custom as an analogy and as a divine pattern that is not going to be broken. So if we get a hold of that pattern, we're going to know the manner of His coming and the way it's all going to play out. And you don't want to miss that. It is a mystery unveiled that I believe in such a practical way that I believe everyone's going to be able to see it clearly and get excited about the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you would like to visit our website before we get into this message, we would be excited to have you come. We have just recently added last month podcast to help people who would like to download to an MP3 player any of the recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus and any of the sermons that are there. We have ministered all of these years, going on 37, and all those sermons that have been chosen down through the years, any and all of them that are still available can come up there, and the ones our media minister have chosen will be found there, and free of charge. If you'd like to just listen, or if you would like to download to an MP3 player then or device, you can take that and play it where you please, as long as you don't mess with it in any way. We want the Word to come as it is, we want it to be brought forth in context. But as long as that happens, I remember, and I'll tell you this before we get in our message, I got a phone call some years ago from Louisville, Kentucky, and someone asked me, said, "Pastor, do you know," someone I'd ever met, said, "do you know that you are ministering in the jail system in Louisville?" I said, I had no, "are you sure you got the right number?" And said, "no, you don't understand. We have acquired your messages preached to your congregation. None of us are called to preach, but we are all called to win souls, and we have access to go into the jails, and we take a boom box and we put on that tape at that time, and we play the tape, and after the tape, we make an invitation. And people who have been convicted and want to be saved, they come forward. We pray with them to receive Jesus Christ. So we just wanted you to know that you are ministering in the jail system in Louisville, Kentucky. That began, and I still don't know where they got the tapes or how it all come about. God set that up. Well, we believe the Word of God is going where God is sending it, and we believe He's sending it through media missionaries, praise God, people who tell other people to tune in to WMAF, and through that to get this broadcast, and other fine ministries locally right there in Madison that broadcast right here on WMAF. Once the Word of God gets out, God takes it and does miraculous things with it. He sent His Word and healed them, the Scriptures declare, and delivered them from all of their destruction. So that is our reason for being on the air. We have no ulterior motive, so you can feel safe to come to our website. You won't be placed on a mailing list, and everything there is free because we have freely received. We are freely giving, as our Lord has taught us. Now, if you have your Bible, we want to share with you today, amen, the mystery of marriage and the coming of the Messiah. I'm going to read Jesus' promise in the context. I want you to listen to the word of the Father and the Son and the coming for us and the going back to the Father's house. This is all falling into a pattern that we may not get it as clearly and quickly. In fact, we can't if we don't know the ancient custom of the Jewish wedding. But the contemporaries in Jesus' time, they got it very clearly. We're going to try to look through their eyes in that time at these verses of Scripture. And I believe God is just going to thrill your soul today as mine is thrilled as we teach it. Listen, John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I'm going to read it again. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So we have a direct promise from Jesus Himself telling His disciples and all believers then and yet to come that someday, and literally one day, He would return to take all believers unto Himself. This is one of the most profound and provocative themes of the Bible. It is more than just a prediction. It's a glorious promise made by Jesus Christ Himself. And when any one of Christ's contemporaries heard these kind of statements, he or she would immediately relate it to the ancient Jewish wedding tradition. Now, it's very clear that the Apostle Paul talked about a husband-wife relationship in Ephesians 5 and related it to how Jesus was going to relate to the church. Listen to this, Ephesians 5, 29 through 32. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it, cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, join to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and His church." One of the meanings of the Greek word for mystery, according to Strong's, is the secret counsels which God, which govern God in dealing with the righteous, which are hidden from the ungodly and wicked, but made plain to the godly. When God wants to make something plain to us, He literally breaks it down And on many occasions, he uses a practical analogy to convey a spiritual truth. People used to come to me with a scripture, particularly young people. When I say young, I'm talking about in their 20s and under. And they would come and say, Rev, can you break this down to us? Well, God breaks these things down to us where we can have conveyed to us a great, deep spiritual truth through a practical analogy. Jesus talked about his coming again and used the ancient Jewish wedding tradition as the pattern. Throughout the New Testament, the pattern is unbroken. So I'm going to do some comparisons of the Jewish wedding and the Messianic parallel. Listen, both the girl's father and the boy's father chose and arranged the betrothal. And the Messianic parallel is that the Holy Spirit chooses the bride and brings people to God through repentance. John 17:24, Jesus prayed for this. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Listen to that again. I will pray that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Remember he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place that what? Where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, friend, I've got loved ones in heaven. I've got two sons here and a daughter in heaven. I have three children. I haven't lost my daughter. I know exactly where she is. Before I became a Christian, she was born premature. She lived for 4 days, perfectly formed, beautiful little girl, but we had problems that did not allow her to survive, being born too early with problems, and she is with the Lord. And I love John's expose, if you please. He's exposed heaven to us. I've seen a lot of books that people have written, and that's all subjective, but John was there. He saw it. It's preserved in holy canon and writ. We have the book of Revelation. John was taken on a guided tour, and he told us about it. And that heavenly city is going to be something awesome to behold. But when I get to heaven, I want to see my Savior before I want to see the gate carved from a solid pearl. I want to see my little girl before I want to even notice that the streets I'm walking on is solid, transparent gold. I want to see my meemaw, my granddad, my granny, my loved ones that have preceded me, my uncle who preached the gospel for so many years. I want to see my wife's granddaddy who was a minister of the gospel. I want to see Papaw Hall. Praise God. I want to see the people in my own congregation. After all of these years, I've seen a lot of my brothers and sisters promoted to heaven. I want to see them again. The people is more important than the place. And that's why as grand and glorious as the place called heaven is, it is the people that is going to make it the joyous place that we'll spend eternity with thanksgiving to God for saving us and bringing us there. Hallelujah. It means resurrection to me means reunion, friend. And Jesus said, I want you where I am. This whole city, with all of its beauty, serves one holy purpose, that you might be with me forever. Praise God. Amen. Paul preach with this end in view of the betrothal. Now listen to this. 2 Corinthians 11:2 said, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Listen, if you're a Christian, you are spoken for. If you're not a Christian, God is seeking you to become part of that growing company known as the Bride of Jesus Christ. Listen, a betrothal was made. And Paul said, through the gospel, I'm espousing you to Jesus Christ. If you believe the gospel, you become spoken for. You become espoused. We're following the pattern of the Jewish wedding. The moment you accept Jesus as your Savior, you are espoused to Him. Praise God. And number two, a price was paid. In the Jewish wedding, a dowry is paid by the groom's father for the bride's hand in marriage. And the messianic parallel is this, that Jesus, our Messiah, gave His life as a purchase price to redeem us. God gave His Son, and Jesus gave His life on the cross. This is the bride price that was paid for our salvation. Acts 20 and 28 speaks of the church as having been purchased with Christ's own blood. God gave His Son Jesus, and Jesus shed His own blood and gave His life for us. In Ephesians 1:14, Christians are called the purchased possession. We belong to the Lord. We become citizens of heaven while still living upon the earth. And God speaks of us possessively. Amen. In the ancient Jewish culture, from the day of the espousal, the woman was referred to as the bride. If you're not a Christian, the price has been paid for you as well. Your sin debt. You can be saved today. Your sin debt can be canceled if you accept Jesus as your Savior and repent of your sins, because the price has been paid for you to be set free, for you to be forgiven, for you to be saved, even as we as Christians have. I love the lyrics to the song, Be Ye Glad. It says, in the days of confused situation, in these nights of restless remorse, when the heart and the soul of a nation lay wounded and cold as a corpse, from the grave of the innocent Adam comes a song bringing joy to the sad. Oh, your cry has been heard, and the ransom has been paid up in full. Be ye glad. And then the chorus says, oh, be ye glad. Every debt that you've ever had has been paid up in full by the grace of the Lord. Be ye glad, be ye glad, be ye glad. Hallelujah. Oh, we have been espoused to Jesus Christ through His sacrifice on the cross. The price has been paid. The bride price has been paid to purchase a bride. Hallelujah. For the Son. And then there is the departure. Listen to this. The Jewish wedding, the bridegroom departed, going back to his father's house to prepare the bridal chamber where they would consummate the wedding and where they would live in their own private quarters. And the messianic parallel is this, in Jesus' own words, I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return and take you unto myself. This departure to prepare a place is commonly known in Scripture as the Ascension. We can read about it in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And when He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you unto heaven, so shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go to heaven. He's going to do what? He's going to prepare a place. What's going to happen when the Father says it's time to come and get us? He's going to return, praise God, and take us unto Himself, that where He is, there we shall be also. And that brings us to the fourth step in the Jewish wedding pattern. The return of the bridegroom for the bride. In the Jewish wedding, when the father gave the okay, the son would immediately come from the bride. And the messianic parallel is this. Jesus promised to come back for us, take us away with Him. And we should live in a state of readiness and holy anticipation. Jesus said, "Be ye ready, for in an hour ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 25, 1 through 13 is this story of the coming of a bridegroom to take that bride. It's following the ancient Jewish wedding ceremony to the letter. So the manner of His coming is being brought to us clearly from the Word of God. Matthew 25 said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily, or surely, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh.'" This hope is so comforting, if you know Jesus as your Savior, that it's called the blessed hope in Scripture. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18, it said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Praise God. Jesus is coming soon. That Father is the one that told the Son when He could go get His espoused, which was already called His bride. And it could be at midnight, and the Son would get a bunch of His friends, and they would come making noise down the street, coming with joy. How's Jesus coming? He's coming with a shout. You can hear that Jewish wedding entourage coming down the street, and they're unorthodox. He's so in love. He's so in love with the bride that He wants to take her back, and He don't want to. When the Father tells Him, and it's in the dead of night, tomorrow you can go get her. Well, guess what? 1 minute after midnight, it's tomorrow. And that bridegroom goes and wakes up a bunch of his buddies, and they come running down the street saying, "I'm coming for my bride." They're noisy. There's joy. There's loud sounding, waking up the whole neighborhood. The Lord is going to descend from heaven with what? The same kind of joy and anticipation in taking us home to be with Him. He's going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with His buddies, hallelujah, with the trump of God. And I'm telling you, it's going to bring the dead up out of the grave, hallelujah. And we which are living are going to be caught up in all of that joy, praise God, and rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. In this passage, the English phrase "caught up" translates the Greek word harpazo, which means to seize upon with force or to snatch up. The Latin translators of the Bible use the word rapturo, the root of the English term rapture, to describe this. At the rapture, living believers will be caught up in the air, translated into the clouds in a moment in time, to join the Lord in the air. I'm telling you, this event is coming as Christ said it's going to come We can see the pattern that is evolving here in the Jewish wedding ceremony and the coming of the bridegroom for the bride. Amen. And God wants you to have a lamp with oil in it, ready to go out and meet Him when He comes. Praise God. Amen. He doesn't want you to be foolish. Listen, this is no time to play church. This is no time to have an empty profession without possessing Christ as your Savior. It's real important today that we convey this message in a way that causes people to be genuinely, authentically ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. The first step in getting ready is receiving Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, repenting of your sin and inviting Jesus to come into your heart and into your life. Amen. Listen, Jesus is building a great body of believers upon this earth, and they are called in Scripture the bride of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul used this espousal language. This is a love story here in the Bible. It is consummated. You know, the first meal that we, with all the believers, both living and have died, or are going to be made alive forevermore, we're going to sit down in the holy city with Jesus, according to the book of Revelation, and we're going to eat a meal, a grand banquet meal together. Praise God. After the wedding, we go and have this wonderful time of fellowship and wonderful food and to share the joy of the marriage of the bride and the groom. Well, there's going to be one of those events immediately following our catching up unto Him. And you know what it's called? It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that is exactly following the Jewish wedding pattern. There's a little more to this subject, and you don't want to miss it. I pray you'll come back next week. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have oil in your lamp. You're not ready to go out to meet Him. You don't want Him to come, and you miss that and be left here for what's coming upon this earth. You want to have your lamps trimmed and burning. You want to be ready right where you are, right now. Would you open your heart? Would you open your life to Him? Would you repent of your sins? Would you ask Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior? Would you become part of the bride of Jesus Christ? And would you go out to meet Him when He comes with all the rest of us? You may have had a godly mama, godly daddy, brother or sister, someone in your family you know was saved. You want to be able to stand with them on that day, be caught up to meet the Lord and to go home with Him and to come back with Him, to live with Him and them forever. If you're a Christian today, if you be risen with Christ, Colossians 3 said, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Get your mind on that city that awaits you, not this temporal world that's surely going to fall away. Listen, the Bible said to seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above and not upon the earth. Heaven is waiting for us today. Jesus is coming for us. And the holy city beckons us home. We love you today. Amen. Don't miss next week's broadcast. And remember, Jesus is coming very soon.